Welcome to this podcast of sermons at CUNA United Methodist Church.
Today's reading is from the Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 12th chapter. Don't be afraid, little flock, because your Father delights in giving you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to those in need. Make for yourselves wallets that don't wear out, a treasure in heaven that never runs out. No thief comes near there, and no moth destroys. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be too. Be dressed for service and keep your lamps lit. Be like people waiting for their master to come home from a wedding celebration, who can immediately open the door for him when he arrives and knocks at the door. Happy are those servants whom the master finds waiting up when he arrives. I assure you that when he arrives, he will dress himself to serve, seat them at the table as honored guests, and wait on them. Happy are those whom he finds alert, even if he comes at midnight or just before dawn. But know this, if the homeowner had known what time the thief was coming, he wouldn't have allowed his home to be broken into. You also must be ready, because the human one is coming at a time when you don't expect him. May we receive a blessing in the hearing of these words.
Believing in God is one thing. Trusting God is another. Trusting God is tricky. Have you ever played that trust game where you fall back and people catch you? Who's played that? So I did that when I was young. It was horrifying. It was very frightening. I knew people who had been dropped, you know, falling into the arms of people, little different than falling into the arms of God. But it's one thing to believe those folks are back there. It's another thing to trust that they will catch you. And it is the same with God. Believing that God is there is where we start. That God, the ruler of the universe, the power greater than ourselves, is there. And that some people doubt in the existence of God. They doubt in the existence of anything transcendent, any consciousness in the transcendent. Others believe that God is there, but they seem to doubt that God has any real power in their lives, that God is distant or uninterested. If you think God is uninterested in your life, that means you can't trust God. You do. You're the only one who can protect yourself. And if you think God is uninterested in your life, then it's okay for your morals to be a little off, you know, when others aren't watching. And if you think God is uninterested in other people's lives, then it's a whole lot easier to dismiss them, to oppress them, to be immoral when others aren't watching. How we see God really affects how we live. It was for Jesus, and it is for us. For Jesus, God the Father was real, was there, was trustworthy, and was totally interested in our lives. And much of Jesus' teaching was getting us to see God the Father, God himself, the way God really was. There, trustworthy, totally interested. So many people are believers. They believe God is there, but not all are disciples. Not all are followers. They live in a way that reveals their trust level in God. And that's not new. Perhaps that is where you are at. That you know God is there, but trusting God is tricky. You're not sure it's safe to trust God. And you don't even know how to start. How do you even start to trust God? Trusting God is tricky, and it always has been, because that's part, I think, part of the free will that God gave us. That we spend our lives learning more and more how to trust, so that when we do trust, It is deep and it is real and it is authentic. And trusting God changes how we live. It's easy to spot people who trust God. This summer, my daughter led a family book club that she suggested, and the book she chose was To Kill a Mockingbird, which I did not read in school, so I was super excited to go through and read that book and have a family book club discussing it. How many of you have read To Kill a Mockingbird? Some. Some, like me, haven't read it yet. Super easy read, actually. It's the story of a white girl in Alabama in the 1930s whose father was an attorney. And he took on a case to defend a black man. And that at that time, black men were always convicted when they were accused by a white person. Just always. And her father, Atticus, takes on the case, knowing that that his client is going to be convicted. And in the process, risking his own safety and his family's safety, but he does it anyway. He uses his influence, he uses his power to defend a powerless black man. And there is one point in the book when a neighbor says, "We're so rarely called upon to be Christian, but when we are, we've got men like Atticus to go for us." It's easy to spot people who trust God. Well, over 1,000 years before Jesus, Abraham trusted God to leave home. Abraham and Sarah left their home in Iran from the city of Ur, and they moved to Palestine. A few weeks ago, we heard about three angels, three people showing up, and Abraham's over-the-top hospitality. We heard about Abraham pleading with God for the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. Well, before all of that, back when his name was Abram, not Abraham, he had to deal with trusting God. When things seemed impossible, God had called Abraham and Sarah to Palestine, and God promised land and blessings and descendants, and God had delivered. They were in a land, amazing pasture land, and their flocks had grown and done so well, and there was the blessing of health, and everyone was doing well, but the descendants part, that had not happened yet. And Abraham and Sarah were getting old. Back when they were young, there had been no pregnancies. You know, years of no pregnancy and going rogue. You know what I'm saying? Hadn't happened. And now, we're in postmenopausal stage of life, and there's still no descendants. Seems impossible. In Genesis chapter 15, God came to Abraham in a vision and said, "Don't be afraid. I am your protector. Your reward will be very great." I get the impression Abraham was not super impressed, a little frustrated, because the descendant thing was still not happening. Abraham wanted more than land. He wanted more than wealth. He wanted a family. He wanted children. He wanted descendants. He wanted someone to raise. He wanted children of his own. If you have dealt with infertility, perhaps you know exactly how Abraham was feeling. He'd been faithful, and now his wife was old, and it seemed like God had snookered him. God had waited too long. And now it would never happen. And so Abraham was bold with God again, calling God out on God's promises. And this is what God did. This is from Genesis chapter 15. Would you read these holy words with me? "Then the Lord brought Abram outside and said, 'Look up at the sky and count the stars if you think you can.' He continued, 'This is how many children you will have.' Abram trusted the Lord, and the Lord recognized Abram's high moral character." Trust God's promise. Abraham trusted God even when things seemed impossible. And God kept the promise. Once more. There it is. God did give Abraham and Sarah children. When both were so old, it seemed impossible, but with God, the impossible is possible. The descendants of Abraham and Sarah grew into a great nation, and at a time of famines and illness, it's actually quite remarkable that they were healthy, that they had the blessing of growing and increasing in number, all of those descendants. Jesus was one of those descendants. And all of those people listening to Jesus talk about the kingdom of God, they were too. Probably, they were biological descendants. All of them were spiritual descendants. That's like us. Perhaps some of us here are biological descendants of Abraham, but all of us are spiritual descendants. All of us can call God or Abraham our father in faith, our ancestor in faith. Jesus and those crowds listening, they knew Abraham's story. They knew about this promise kept by counting the stars in the sky. I wonder if they looked at the sky, looked at the stars, the ones God used to number Abraham's descendants, and wondered which one they were. Have you ever looked at the sky and wondered which star was hung for you? That God was dreaming of you thousands of years ago, even as God was talking to Abraham. Trust God's promise. Trust God's goodwill. In today's reading from the Gospel of Luke, which was written about 50 years after the death and resurrection of Christ, Jesus is teaching the disciples and a crowd is listening in, and he tells them, "Your Father delights in giving you the kingdom." Your Father delights in giving you the kingdom. Like God is an over-the-top generous parent who just can't wait to give you the gift. For many of us, it is hard to trust in God's goodwill. We might have an easier time trusting in God's judgment or God's poor opinion of us, but trusting in God's goodwill for us can be challenging. And then Jesus goes on to say how trusting in God's goodwill changes the way we live. He says, sell your stuff. Give your money away. Don't surround yourself with stuff. Don't use stuff to calm your anxiety. Downsize. Be free. Give alms. Give to charity. Give to the church. Be ready for God like servants waiting. Trust God's goodwill and trust that God shows up. Jesus urges us to be ready, to be prepared. Jesus says, be dressed for action, like those who are waiting for their master to return. Be dressed and ready for action, that there is an urgency in our waiting. There is a waiting with alertness. Jesus says, God is like that master headed our way. And when God arrives, and we can have total confidence that God will arrive, that then God becomes a steward, seating us at the place of honor at the table. And so we wait, trusting that God shows up. What are the spiritual practices that you have found are helpful in staying alert spiritually? People ask me many times, you know, like what they should be doing, what spiritual practices they should be doing. And what I have found is that different practices are different for different people, and even different in different seasons of our lives. Because we want to feel close to God. We want to have those practices that bring us, that help us show up so that God can show up for us. So the key question, it's not which one is right, but which one is right for you right now? Which spiritual practice keeps you spiritually alert to God? One practice that I learned a long time ago was central is Sunday morning worship together. That when we, that without, if when we don't, when we don't come to, when we are not part of church, when you're not part of church community, there have been times when I have, in my life, when I said, you know what, Lord, you're on your own, I'm taken off, this is, I'm not dealing with you anymore. And I stopped going to church. Or maybe it was the people I was not dealing with anymore, to be honest. But when I didn't have that experience of gathering, of hearing preaching, of celebrating the Lord's Supper, God got smaller and smaller and smaller. That the spiritual practice of being at worship on Sunday morning changes us. It wakes us up. We hear God in each other's voice. We see God in each other's faith. We hear God in a different way when the word is proclaimed. We experience God differently when we share the Lord's Supper together. And so we need each other, and we need this experience of church. And we trust that God shows up. And we trust in God's care. Jesus said if the homeowner had known what time the thief was coming, he wouldn't have allowed his house to be broken into. You must also be ready, because the human one is coming at a time when you don't expect him. The human one is coming. A thief is coming, the human one, coming to steal from the house. At this time in Jesus' world, people saw God was in the heavens, up high, which literally meant sky. Sky and heaven was is the same word in Hebrew. So God was in the heavens, and Satan was on the earth. And they saw Satan less as an evil force, as a force of death. So closer to what we think of the angel of death. So God, the author of life, was in the heavens, and on earth, where mortality happens, where death happens, that's where Satan ruled, Satan's house. So when Jesus talks about a thief is coming, the human one, here we are, a life of mortality, and a thief is coming to steal. Not steal stuff, not steal things, but steal us from death. Steal us from death. Like being kidnapped by your best friend and being taken on an amazing trip. And so we are ready. We are ready when that thief comes looking for us. We're ready to go to this life abundant, to this life eternal that begins right now and goes on. The kingdom of heaven. Trust in God's care. If you are feeling ready to trust God, that in all the ways in your own life and in the lives of our spiritual ancestors, you find God trustworthy, then I invite you to pray with me and offer yourself and that trust to God. I will pray aloud. You can repeat quietly, you know, under your breath or in your mind if you would like to. Jesus, you come for me like a thief in the night, offering the kingdom of heaven and treasure that never runs out. Jesus, I am ready for whenever you arrive. Turn my heart to you. Take away my fear. Help me trust in your promise. Help me trust your goodwill. Help me trust in your care. And help me trust that you show up. I put my trust in you. Amen.
Thanks for listening. This podcast is preached almost always by our pastor, Reverend Mia Crosswaite. CUNA United Methodist Church is a community on a mission to make disciples for the transformation of the world. To support this podcast and the missional priorities of this church, go to cunaumc.org and click on Give. Any amount helps. And if you're kind enough to share your contact information with us, we'll continually send you things.